Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we go to the scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, this morning. Lord, we feel your presence has been here, Lord, during this singing. Lord, we so appreciate you taking the time to come and visit us, Lord. We ask, Lord God, for you to guide us now through your word, through this message, Lord, to where it be a help and a strengthening to the people, Lord. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. While you're standing, if you could turn with me to the book of John, I want to read from chapter 1, verses 11 through 13. John chapter 1, verse 11. We preached Thursday night on making your calling and election sure. And that's what we did during the service, was make it sure. And showing that you were a son or daughter of God. So we want to, this morning, we want to take a subject of power to become sons. Power to become sons. Verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You may be seated. We realize we're in this great dispensation of grace. It's wonderful. The grace of God that God has for us. Without God's grace, I don't know if any of us would be alive. Because none of us could have lived up to the law. But we're living in grace. And in this great dispensation of grace, God has come down and tabernacled himself within man, tabernacling himself in mortals, in mortal beings, so that he can come into fellowship with them. And then the Bible says he gave them power to become sons. And I want to really focus on that for a bit. Brother Branham said the purpose of God, the great purpose of God, was wanting to bring man into fellowship with him. So we can set that up as what the goal was, why he was doing everything that he was doing, why that he was born as a child, why he came and was crucified and died and buried and rose again, and all these things was so that he could bring about that his spirit could come and live within us, and therefore then him have fellowship with us. The Bible says that the common people heard him gladly. I'm thankful for that because I'm one of them common people. Nothing extraordinary about me, nothing special about me. I'm just like everybody else. And that's the way you are. But he gave them power to become the sons and daughters of God. And that then anchors you away until the day of complete redemption, meaning the body change. That's when redemption is complete. He's already redeemed us. We said that Thursday night. He can't do something he's already done. He's already redeemed us. He's already healed us. All we have to do is accept it. But his plan of redemption is still in work. He's already finished it. What I'm getting at is this, but it has to come to a place to where we come to that complete redemption. He's already, let me put it this way, he's already paid the price for sin. He's already paid the price to buy back the book. He already paid the price for us to have a new body. And to do that, he had to redeem the earth, because our bodies are made up out of the earth. And so he redeemed the earth. When his blood spilled on the earth, he redeemed the earth. He bought back the earth. And so he's bought it back. But we've got to come to a place to where we come to that fulfillment of it. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. This is an outstanding chapter. The chapter starts off with, "Seeing as we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every sin and weight that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience this race that is set before us." And then I want to take from reading them with verse 5. And from this, I want to prove you're a son. "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, neither faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastising, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastise us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous." And you say amen to that? "But grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down on the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For we know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." Hallelujah. A person who can't take chastisement, the Bible clearly tells us, they're not a son. Now you say, when has God chastised me? When God corrected you in your walk and turned you around to bring you back to him. God, many times, we're going to be in need of correction. We're children, and we make mistakes, and we're in need of correction. But a son can take correction, will take correction. But you take somebody who is not a son or daughter of God, and I'm talking about before they even come to Christ. You took chastisement of the Lord before you ever even come to Christ. You took correction, and that correction brought you to the path that you are now on. And it showed that you're a son. Shows that you're a daughter of God. When trials and troubles and headaches and disappointments and all these things seems to come, but something keeps holding you. It's not you holding on, but something holding you. When the test comes, it's not how much you can hold on, but it's that he held on to you. So that song, "Something Keeps Holding Me." Every day, something keeps holding me. You remember in Jacob, how in Jacob's story and Esau's story that Esau sold the birthright to Jacob, showing just how little it meant to him. And so then we find that Jacob goes in and deceives his father and not only gets the birthright, which Esau was going to give him readily, but he stole the blessing too. And this is what really vexed Esau, was the taking of that blessing. Because Esau wanted the blessing. He just didn't want that birthright. Because with that birthright become responsibility, become spiritual responsibility. And Esau didn't want nothing to do with that. But he wanted that blessing. And so that vexed him when Jacob stole the blessing. So then we find Jacob happened to flee for his life. And his mother sends him back to her people. And he flees for his life. But then we find a little later on that Jacob, looking and searching for that place of rest, was really what he was looking for, that Jacob meets with an angel of God. And he wrestles with the angel all night. And he says, "Bless me. I'll not let you go till you bless me." And so he was looking for something that would get Esau off his back. And the angel said, "Let me go, for the day dawneth." He said, "I'll not let you go." And then the angel touched him on his thigh, and in the hollow of his thigh, and then it changes Jacob's walk from that day on. But then the angel realizes, "I'm going to have to leave him blessed." But you realize God sent the angel down there to bless Jacob to begin with. But Jacob, they had to see how determined Jacob was. Jacob had to see just how determined he was to get the blessing of God. And so the angel says, "You'll no longer be called Jacob, but you, from this day forth, you'll be called Israel, because you have been are made a prince with God and with men." So God gave Jacob the power to become a prince. And that power to become a prince was that he was going to have sons that were going to, he would have fellowship with, and from them would spring the great nation of Israel. And so but you realize it didn't change Jacob in any way. He still looked like Jacob. But now he was a prince with God and with man. The reason that this happens in this day was to attract the evening light people. So you realize that if you've been called of God in this day and called to this end time message, that it not only shows that you belong to God, but God calls you on into the bride. So you realize your position, your place, that God has actually called you on into the bride's message. That ought to make you happy today, to see what you're a part of. Because we can't live in yesterday's light. There's many that are still living in a light of a day gone by. There's a lot of them that's claiming to believe this message, that are living in a light of another day. They think they're living in the light of this day. But they don't believe the seals open. They don't believe that, you know, this, or they think Brother Branham's got to come back to reveal something or other. Then they're not living in the right light, because that's not the truth. Amen. The seventh seal was open. That seventh seal, you realize in heaven it said that there was silence for about the space of a half hour. And the angel didn't want nobody to move, because he didn't want him to give away what it was. But I'll tell you what John was looking at during that space of the half hour. He saw God, the Lamb of God, working through a little Kentuckian standing down there and opening the seal. before the people. He said, don't make a sound. Didn't want to give it away what he was going to do. And then you realize when Brother Branham comes that day, that evening, to preach the seventh seal, he begins preaching like he did in all the other seals, you know, just preaching and waiting, like he said, only the Lamb could come and open it, and he's waiting on that to happen. And then all of a sudden, Brother Branham realizes it's open. And he doesn't say it, he says, perhaps I've said too much. Because I don't want Satan to know what's going on. But you realize, Brother Adam said, the opening of the seals was the third pool. The third pool was the opening of the Word. So it opened the Word to us. And that's what we're living on today, is the open Word of God. And God did it through a man. It doesn't make that man any. He was just a common man, just like I said at the beginning here about common people. He wasn't of much education naturally in this world, but he spoke things that without revelation you'd never even be able to understand. You realize the light is the same light. Let me put it this way. The sun that shines in January is the same sun that shines in August. It's just, it's stronger. And it keeps getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Now, if the light remained like it was in January, it'd never be able to bring the seed to ripening. But the sun has to get stronger, the light. It has become more in line with that light. And so it's the same light of the day gone by. It's just, it's got stronger. It's the same sun. It's the same S-O-N that shined then. It's the same S-O-N that's shining now. But what it is, we've come more and more in line with that light. And that light, friends, look, there were things that were open when Brother Branham was here. And nobody even knew what was open. Nobody even knew, understood everything that he said. But God is bringing in this end time that he's opening those things, or showing those things, I should say, that have been opened. The grain will only mature in the light, the sunlight of July and August. To get it to mature. When you realize that when your father was just a young boy, you were in him then. You were a gene in your father. He couldn't have fellowship with you. He couldn't know you. But had to wait for the right bedding ground, where that seed could come and form a life. And Brother Branham said that's the same way with God. If you are a seed of God, then you always were a seed of God. Brother Branham said you weren't born a sheep you weren't born a pig or a dog and then become a sheep, because that would be against the laws of the Bible. The laws of the Bible is every kind shall bring each kind shall bring forth of its own kind. But the great purpose of God, we mentioned, was to come into fellowship. I have sons and daughters. They were in me when I was a young man. But now they've come into manifestation. And once they come into manifestation, then I can have fellowship with them. And that's the same way with you. You had to come into manifestation. Friends, look, when you were born, that seed of God, that seed is the real you. It was on the inside of you. But it was laying there dormant. And you had a nature of the world. And you perhaps did the things of the world. Or some were in a maybe grew up into some kind of religious form of one thing or the other. But still, that seed was laying there dormant, waiting for the right light to strike it, for it to come to life. I mean, how many know as much about wheat? I grew up for a few years in the southwestern part of the state of Ohio. They raised a lot of wheat there. And they'd plant their wheat in the fall of the year. They'd plant the wheat. And it would come up and it would look like grass. And then the snow would fall. And the snow had to fall, and it had to lay under the snow to keep it from freezing, to keep it to where it would survive through the winter. And then the sun begins to come up and melt the snow away, and gradually the fields unthaw, and you still see that wheat standing there like green grass. And then the wheat begins to grow. And it seems like once it starts to grow, it really takes off and it grows very quickly. And then about around July, it's standing pretty tall. And it's got up on the stalk, it's got the hulls are up on there. And they look like seed, but they're not seed. The seed is yet to come into there. But the seed was always, all the time, in the wheat. The seed was in the stalk, and the seed comes up through the stalk, and the seed then forms in the husk. And then it's standing there, but it's still green, so it hasn't reached maturity yet. I believe that's where a lot of us are. We're standing there, we've come up, we've been manifest as seed, but we're standing there and we just need to mature. And so the wheat has to mature, and then with the right kind of sunlight shining on it, the wheat will turn a golden color. And then when it turns that golden color, then it's mature and it's ready to harvest. So you were born with that seed in you, but it had to wait for the light, right light to strike it. It had to wait. You had to be born of the Spirit of God. And when you were born of the Spirit of God, then he can come and have fellowship with you. We had to come to a place. So what we see was, this power to become sons, you realize that down inside you always were a son or daughter of God. But this power was a power to come to life, a power to bring that to life, a power to bring that to where it overtook your entire being, where the inside is that inside man's the one that has control over the ship. Hallelujah. It ain't the man up by the wheel of the stern, or I guess they call it. I don't know. I'm not Navy, brother. But it ain't the man up there, but it's that keeps the ship moving, but it's the ones down there in the engine room. They're the ones that keep the thing moving. Hallelujah. Woman at the well shows us what I've been talking about. Because the woman at the well, there she was. She was dead in trespasses and sin. And when Jesus came to her, then you see when that light shined on her, it brought something to life. And it's because there was something down inside of her to respond to that. That same light that showed to her, that same light showing down in Jerusalem to the priests. That same light shone to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But you see, there wasn't anything in there to respond back to that light. Now, it doesn't matter how much the sun shines on the ground. If there isn't a seed in there to become a wheat, there ain't going to be no wheat come up. And it's the same way with an individual. No matter how much you find individuals, you try to talk to them about this end time, about this light of this evening time, and it seems to have no effect. Now, don't get me wrong. There is a season and time for each and every one. And one time, a man asked Brother Branham, he said, I was praying for my loved ones, and I've been praying, but don't seem like anything's happening. He says, is it worth it? Brother Branham says, is it worth it? He said, is it worth it to you for Jesus to die and shed his blood? Yes, it's worth it. Because if they're seed of God, eventually that light will hit it just right and it'll come to life. But if there's no seed there, there's nothing to come to life. But there isn't a certain age chronologically that happens. It has nothing to do with your natural age or years. It has to do with God's timing. It has to do with God's season. And when you realize when God does it, God has a purpose that you're to serve. And he brings you to life, and you will serve that purpose, whatever it is God has for you. Nobody else can do it. God chose you to do it. Nobody else can take your place. The woman at the well, there was something down in her. There was a deep that called, and there was a deep down there to respond to it. And so, there was something there to be brought to life. If there's not anything there to be brought to life, then the light just shines and passes on by. But sometimes that light brings weeds to life. But the weed is different than the wheat. It'll look like the wheat. It can look pretty close to it, right on up, growing up, until it comes time to mature. And when it comes time to mature, you'll see the difference between the wheat and the weed. And it's a time of harvest. And that's why Jesus said, they said, should we go, the servant said, and take up the weeds? He said, No, don't take up the tares. Lest in doing that, you bring up the wheat also. But let it stay until what? The end, till the time of harvest. And then it'll be separated. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There was a man one time talking to Brother Branham, and he said, Brother Branham, he says, I don't think I'm worthy to be saved. And Brother Branham asked him, why was he thinking that way? He said, well, I've tried and tried and tried to get saved, and I can't get saved. I've tried and tried and tried to change, but I can't change. Brother Branham says, he said, I find myself not worthy. Brother Branham said, you'll never be worthy in yourself. But he says, what it is, you're looking at yourself, and what you need to look at is the sacrifice. And the sacrifice is Christ. And that sacrifice is perfect. And the blood of Jesus Christ is perfect. There's no fault in it. And then God, looking through that blood, can see no fault in you because you're covered by that blood. And the man said, I see it now. I see it now. As Brother Ram said, you'll never be worthy in yourself, but it's Christ is the one that's worthy. And and you realize then it's not by our own righteousness. We're only righteous by his righteousness. I've seen people that go through the steps of well, I'm good to my neighbors, and I give things to the poor, and I do this for that one and this one, and I've had them say, I've never smoked, I've never drank, I've never been in jail, I've never cheated on my wife, I've never done this, and I've never done that. You still need to be saved, because the Bible says you were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Amen. You still needed a Savior because you were born under the curse of the fall. So you still needed a Savior. Amen. Now, want to look for a little bit. We're going to have a baptism this morning. So I wanted to look for a little bit at water baptism and why we do it and what's the purpose of baptism. My wife told me last night when they were going to sleep, said that Michael and Charlotte were talking about their Uncle Seth getting baptized, and they were talking about why do you have to get baptized and so forth. Charlotte was asking, why does he have to get baptized? And Michael, I guess, in his way, was trying to explain it. I don't know what he was saying. But the Bible says, in the book of Matthew, it said, enter ye in at the straight gate. This is Jesus talking. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go therein. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You realize when you read this that straight's not spelled, if I get spelling right, straight, like a straight line, but it's spelled straight, straight. And that is a waterway. When you spell straight that way, you're talking about a strait. It's talking about a waterway. And so no wonder Jesus would say that the gate that you've got to go in is a waterway. And then he told his disciples before he left, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So we see through baptism is a way of entering. And water baptism is important. It is an outward sign of an inward work. But we realize Father is not a name. He said, in the name of the Father. But Father's not a name. I'm a father, but that's not my name. And it said, in the name of the Son. Well, I'm a son, but that's not my name. I'm a human being. I'm a spirit, but that's not my name. And so, what is the name? Isn't you realizing that no scripture can in any way deviate from the other? There can't be any contradiction in the scripture. And though there's many that wrestle with it thinking there's contradiction, is because they lack revelation. But Peter was there on that day when Jesus said, baptize him in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So he was there and heard that. Then we find Jesus telling him to go and wait in the upper room till they're endued with power from on high. And then they're waiting in the upper room in one accord. And then the power of God comes down like tongues of fire over each one of them. And they receive the Holy Ghost. And they come forth out of there. Perhaps they're staggering a little bit under the Spirit. And they come forth and they're speaking. And some of the folks that are standing there say, how can we hear them, every man in our own tongue, our own language? For they were speaking in tongues. And Peter said, these are not drunk as you suppose, being about this the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoke of by the prophet Joel. And he shows that it was, and you see then Peter showing a fulfillment of the scripture that was taking place. And that fulfillment of the scripture was that God would come and dwell and tabernacle himself in man, that they'd be filled with the Spirit of God. And then they wonder, what should they do then? And Peter tells them, repent and be baptized. So repentance was the first thing. And then says, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Peter caught the revelation. What was the Son's name? Jesus Christ. He says, one time, Philip says, Lord, show us the Father. Jesus said, have I been so long with you that you don't know me? When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. For it was the Father dwelling within him. And so Peter caught the revelation of what Jesus was saying. It's not a contradiction. I've heard people that want to baptize in titles, and they say, well, I'd rather go with what Jesus said than what Peter said. Well, if that be the case, then what good's the Bible? Can we just pick and choose which portions of the Bible we'll go with and which portions we won't? Seems like people do. But we're supposed to live by the entire Bible. Amen? It's like the old fellow, Brother Branham told the story about, that carried his Bible and it was all worn. And they asked him, he said, can you read it? He said, no. They said, why do you carry it for, if you can't read it? He said, because I believe it. And he said, I believe it from cover to cover. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So this is a promise that once you have taken these steps, you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You will receive that birth into the Holy Ghost, be filled with the Spirit of God. For the promise is unto you and to your children, talking to those who were standing there. And then he goes on and says, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, he realized at this time, Peter didn't realize that God was going to turn to the Gentile. So Peter was just speaking as he was being moved on by the Spirit of God. And so Peter says, as many as the Lord our God shall call. That wasn't even Peter talking. That was God speaking through Peter. Because Peter had no idea that God was going to turn and also save the Gentile people. Remember when God came, had to come and bring a vision to Peter before he would even go down to Cornelius' house. Cornelius being a Gentile. And he gave Peter a vision while Peter was up on the roof. And there was all manner of food there that wasn't kosher for Jews to eat. And he said, rise and eat. And Peter said, not so. There's never been any unclean thing pass across my lips. And he said, call not unclean what the Lord has blessed. And so Peter has this vision, and it happens three times. And then God speaks and says, there's someone by the name of Cornelius. You're to go down to his house and you're to preach this gospel to him. The same time Cornelius, God was praying, and God spoke to Cornelius and said, send for one by the name of Simon Peter. He's going to come and present this gospel to you. But you realize when Peter was saying this on the day of Pentecost, this was before he'd ever had the vision. This was before he ever had any idea that God was going to turn to the Gentiles. And he says, as many as the Lord our God shall call, which incorporates all nations. nations, all races, all colors, all kinds of people, as many as the, if the Lord calls them, then this promise is to them. I don't know how people today believe all the baptism of the Holy Ghost was just for the apostles. How they get around this scripture, I don't know. I've never talked to one to this point on these things. Maybe perhaps someday I'll get an opportunity to find out what do they do with this scripture. As many as the Lord our God shall call. He ain't never stopped calling. Not yet. He's still calling. So there's still more to come in. And everyone he calls has got the promise to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Nate to come and lead us in some songs. And while we make preparation to get ready for baptism. Amen. Barman, I guess he just stepped out. Pardon me, lips are dry. Let's sing Sing, have you been baptized into the body? It says it's in the key of G.